Hello and happy Wednesday, everyone.
Hi.
It's us. Back at it again. What do you want to tell the people?
You are loved. You're accepted. Oh, you know, I was thinking that we was talking about, we have friends who are doing a food drive for their trip to
Uganda.
Kenya. Yeah, why don't you do the commercial? You're better at it than I am.
No, you're doing great.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so they have to supply 1,200 meals when they go on their trip, and we would like to help support that. I think they're close to like 500, maybe a little over 500. But it's Invictus. They're going in May. And if you would like to help them out, I'm going to put a link up here real quick. And all you got to do is click that link. I think it's about $2 a meal or dollar or $1.33 a pound. Is that right? How's that work?
We'll go with it.
Okay. That's the link. That didn't work out so well. You can't click that.
Yeah, you can.
Can you? Okay. Anyways, sure, if you'd like to, go on Invictus on their Facebook page, and there you'll see that there's a little write-up on there. Go on there and click how many meals you're going to be giving. It's just to help us keep counting it, and it's kind of a little bit of a competition. Not crazy competition, but we just want to bless them and be a blessing to others, and yeah. So,
yes, Heather and Rebecca are going to Kenya in May, pretty much for the entire month of May, and they will be providing 1,200 meals while they are there. And their purpose in being there is to train people up in the prophetic. And it's a super exciting opportunity for us all to be able to take part in the adventure that Invictus is going on in Kenya. And so join in by providing a meal or two or 100, whatever you feel God is calling you to do. And it is just, you know, however, 1 pound and 33 pence, I believe is how you say it. And so that's pretty darn affordable. And most of us spend that amount of money on a tip for our coffee. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much you do. I mean, if you can only do one meal, that's fantastic. Okay, remember the lady that can only give a penny, and Jesus was pretty proud of her. So, if that's all you can do, that's great. If you can't do anything, pray. That's just as good.
Oh yes.
It's a cool trip, and to be a part of something like that's really cool. But whatever you can give, you know, it doesn't, I mean, when I say competition, I just want to see people give. It's a competition to bless.
We felt so led to, we felt like God told us to, represent 5 meals per person in our family. And so it was really fun to be able to send our kids a little note and let them know that they will be feeding 5 people each. Mm-hmm. And our kids always asked us to adopt an African brother for them. They just thought that would be the best thing ever. And so this is the closest that we
were willing to go. We have 6 kids. We were overpowered
from the get-go, and they were asking for more. In fact, I had kidney stones in between, like at halftime, like in between 3 and 4, I had kidney stones. And our fourth child always accuses me of taking up time for my kidney stones when I could be producing another sibling. So they don't have a problem.
They're really sympathetic.
They don't have a problem being part of a large family. And so this was a way to offer them their desire to have an African sibling. So they're each providing 5 meals for someone from Kenya. And mm-hmm. so that was just kind of a fun way for us to contribute to yeah. their trip. So anyway, John's got the link posted there in the comments. Go out and give. Listen, they leave soon. And so I know that, you know, the shorter time gets, the more, you know, you start to get concerned about having what you need to go on a big, big trip like this. And so don't wait. If the Lord is telling you to do it, please be quick. Yeah. We want them to go with the assurance of the kingdom of God. Listen, this is the time for us to put our mouths where our money is, or is that how you say that? Our money where our mouths is. That's how you say that. And yeah. and not just talk about oneness, but to enter into oneness. Yeah.
And Rebecca is very dear to us, and she's dear to our ministry and to us personally. And her and Heather, they're just amazing. So to help them, to take that stress on them, you know, let's do it. We're all on the same team. You know, if you have an attitude of, no, I'm giving to this ministry because this is who I like. And we're all on the same team, guys. It's all for the same benefit of glorifying God. Let's expand.
Yeah.
Okay, let's expand. Okay, let's move out of our comfort zones and expand a little bit, okay?
All right.
All right.
What are we talking about today? I'm excited about this topic, actually, because I just don't think that it's touched on enough. Earlier in the week, God started talking to me about shrouded desires. And I was like, shrouded desires? What on earth? And he just simply said that anything that you cannot vocalize to another is hidden in darkness. So shrouded desires, therefore, is anything that is sitting within us that we keep from other people. And it's dangerous because that turns into something that it should have never, ever turned into. And we've got a few different spots of scripture we want to touch on this morning. And so again, thanks for journeying along with us. Hopefully you have your Bibles out and ready because we are going to Colossians chapter 1 first.
Hi, Virginia, Yvonne, Robin, Lisa, Jeffrey.
Cindy's on. Hello, Cindy.
I don't have Cindy. Am I not friends with Cindy?
Oh,
you Cindy, better. We're not friends.
You better fix that. Cindy's a friend to have. Okay, so we're going to Colossians 1, and we're starting in verse 9. Therefore, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, to walk worthily of the Lord, to please him in all things, bearing fruit in every good work and growing by the full knowledge of God, being empowered with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins. Most of us would have learned this as called out of darkness, translated into light. And there's even a song to go along with it that I will spare you. I've been cut from the worship team multiple times. It's true. I haven't.
She I've has never, a big cut. She never made it.
Try out. Called out of darkness, translated into light. What does that actually mean to us? I think so often when we put a jingle to something, it loses the depth of value because it becomes repetitive in our minds and we go on autopilot and don't really consider these things. What is it that Christ has done on our behalf? He has brought us out of darkness and translated us into light. That means our full being stands in the brightness of light. We have access to the brightest light available. Revelation tells us that at the end, there will be no need for sun, moon, or stars because the Lamb will produce enough light. That's significant. And that's the kind of light that we are called into, where there cannot be any shifting shadows. And when we allow that light, can I say interrogate? When we allow that light to interrogate us, to shine in those dark places, then we can live free from the dark corners. I was telling John, and we didn't ever get around to it, but I was telling John yesterday afternoon, I was like, hey, let's do like some fun little videos outside after it gets dark for last night. Because I was thinking about, you know, being little, or who am I kidding, being my age now and in the darkness and there's no light and you hear all the noises and in like that surround you, and they're probably more distant than they feel. And it was funny because I was talking to God about this, and he's like, yeah, and often it's like a beetle walking over a dried leaf. And you get fearful just from the noise alone because you cannot see it because of the darkness. And he's like just explaining, obviously, you know, in his canny way of helping me grasp understanding of what it's like to keep things hidden in dark places, in dark corners of our soul, and keeping them to ourselves. And I think that we believe that when scripture tells us that, you know, he is the author of the desires of our heart, that's permission for those to remain there. And the thing is that everything needs to actively be brought into the light, because nothing should be having dominion over us except for Christ himself. And so often we give everything else authority because of the way that we hold it within ourselves. So every desire should be brought into light. Every thought, what are we told about every thought? And is it every thought or just the unholy ones?
That's a good point.
Take captive every thought and submit it to the lordship of Jesus Christ. It's every thought, because our flesh has a way of laying hold of oftentimes innocent thoughts and turning them into something monstrous that they were never intended to be. So we have to be super mindful and take captive every thought and every desire and throw it into the light. How do we do this? By activating the work of confession. We have to be a people who are embracing the art of confession. Rita Springer called it the art of confession, and I'm stealing it because I like it. The art of confession. Are we utilizing what has been given us? It's a gift. It's a gift. Confession is a gift, that we can confess our sins one to another, that we can confess things and shove them into the light rather than allowing them to remain in darkness, because they will convict us of things that maybe we never were even involved in, but they are convincing. And often accidentally we stumble into dark things because we are not utilizing the light like we should.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I was thinking, this is kind of silly, but it's so true, about taking every thought captive. You know, as parents, there were times when you might have fantasized of knocking your kid out.
Oh.
You know, taking, and you have to take that thought captive, but not do it. And that sounds silly, but it's true. I mean, because we run into circumstances every day where somebody maybe offends us or you know, and Angie's talking about, you know, maybe they offended us and we didn't even know we offended them, you know, but there's offense out there, you know. And so if you're offended by somebody, and if you don't tell them that you're offended by them, and you have all these thoughts running through your head and you don't take them captive, you're going to take something that's this big and make it huge, because you're just going through all this emotional stuff in your brain. And, you know, because you didn't take it captive, it's turned into a monster.
Yes.
And you don't want to do that.
Don't do that.
And plus, you don't ever want to spank your kids when you're angry with them. Ever.
A little lesson in parenting?
Huh? Yes.
Parenting 101.
You don't. Because they will test you beyond your limits.
This is true. And not just when they're little.
Oh, no. I want to spank them more now as adults. Just kidding. I love them.
Okay. Jump over to Psalm 37.
Hey, I got a real Bible this week.
This is where we learn about the desires of our hearts. We're going to start in verse 3.
What'd you say, Psalms what?
37. Starting in verse 3. Trust in Jehovah and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Ugh, we could just stop there and talk about that's amazing. And feed on his faithfulness. Are we taking the time to feed on God's faithfulness? Delight yourself in Jehovah, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is conditional. I think we love to quote these kinds of things, thinking that they are just as is. There is the no be do of the word of God.
The what?
The no be do. Things to know, things to be, and things to do.
Did you just come up with that?
No.
Oh, darn it. Just got to franchise it.
This is a do. You have to actually be active in this, that you have to be delighting in the Lord. And then the desires of your heart will be known. How do we delight in the Lord? By sitting around singing Kumbaya? No, by practicing the presence of God, which means we do the work of being a saint, which means we practice the art of confession. We practice translating things into the light. We are active in living in the light. This is not, I think so often we just think that all of these things are just, we just stumble into them. And I'm going to have to throw out there that I think that that's lazy Christianity. And yes, I do think that's a whole category in and of itself, that your salvation is safe here, but listen, how you walk this out depends on how active you're going to be in your sainthood. We have to actively move toward the light, bring all of these things. Every single day, every one of us are probably hit with 100 different proposals, 100 different things that we have to take captive, actively take captive and say, no, this needs to be brought under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and evaluated there before it can exist here. I think that we do not really, okay, let me do this. Let's go back. Let's go back to how the temple came about in the first place. David's not allowed to build the temple, but he set the son up to do so. And Solomon does this work with extravagance. Extravagance. He spares nothing. This building is so attractive that it's pulling the attention of a queen from another nation. It is such an attractive piece of work that she brings a whole treasure trove of items, because that is what she's moved to do. The queen of Sheba is moved to extravagance herself because of the work of the temple. Why am I bringing this up? Not because I want you to give, but because.
But. Segue.
But because I want you to understand that God has moved his location from the beauty and the extravagance of the temple to the beauty and the extravagance of you. If we aren't being mindful of how he regards us as his temple, his dwelling place, as beautiful and extravagant and worthy of holiness and righteousness, then we're going to let anything come in. Mm-hmm. If we would take the time every single day to take on his thoughts regarding us as his temple, as his dwelling place, I think we would live differently. I think we would take very seriously what it means to take thoughts captive and to be mindful about delighting ourselves in the one who's dwelling within us. And by that measure, will we know the desires of our hearts? Will we see the desires of our hearts manifest? Because it will more quickly align with what Christ has in store for us. Mm-hmm. I think we stumble around in the darkness because we forget that the same extravagant measures that Solomon built the temple with, this is unknown beauty. This structure would have been unknown beauty. And God regards you and I in the same measure. Mm-hmm. Look at what he's done. He comes with us in the same way that the Queen of Sheba came at the temple that Solomon built with all of his gifts. Mm-hmm. He's sparing nothing. He's extravagant towards us, lavishing his good work on us. He laid his life down for us, all for the sake of building up the beauty of this temple. How much more should we be delighting ourselves in Jehovah? How much more should we be actively throwing down those fiery darts that come after us? I don't know about you, but I'm aware. I'm aware of the things that are coming after me on a regular basis. Somewhere on the way to Wales. Good afternoon.
Time to call Vicky.
I know. We've got
Chrissy.
We've got new people popping in.
Invictus Prophetic Global.
Yes. Invictus Prophetic Global. We already did a commercial on behalf of your Kenya project.
You're welcome. But Angie's point here, I mean, you know, the Queen of Sheba, do you want a Queen of Sheba to see you and realize you're worth investing in because of the goodness coming out of you, because you're extravagant? Do you come and show up into a place and they see the extravagance in you and they're like, I want that? Or do they come and see you and they're just like, nope? You know, I call it being shiny on the inside. Are you being shiny on the inside, or are you blah on the inside?
Shiny on the inside. Are you shiny on the inside? Yeah. I mean, I just think that if we really understood what we are made of, we would carry ourselves differently. Mm-hmm. Not arrogantly, don't misunderstand, not with pride, but regarding ourselves as a space where holiness is dwelling. That's shiny.
Yeah. We've had young people that have always been attracted to us and they just want to be in our presence all the time, which is good, but it can be really annoying too. We had a friend that just like sometimes wouldn't leave our house.
This is true.
It's kind of annoying, but I mean, that's just, they just wanted to be around us. And that's how people should feel when they're around you. They just want to be around you because of the goodness that's coming out of you, because Jesus is just radiating out of you. Not because you're the best looking person in the room or anything like that. The best looking person in the room is the one that is expressing Jesus the most from the inside out.
Amen. That's good. This goes on. So let's read for again. Delight yourself in Jehovah and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to Jehovah and trust in him and he will act. And he will cause your righteousness to go forth like light and your justness like noonday. He will cause your righteousness to go forth like light and your justness like the noonday. Wow. Wow. Righteousness is attractive. It's attractive. And I think that in our modern Christianity, we have regarded, I mean, if we're honest, we have regarded righteousness as religion and or a religious act. And I think it's unintentional, but I think accidentally righteousness got thrown in with religious, and that's so errant on our part to regard it that way, because righteousness is beautiful and it is attractive, and it doesn't mean that I'm one-upping someone. It just means that I'm hosting well the presence of God, that I've been with him. Remember, go back to verse 3, delight yourself in Jehovah. It means I'm delighting in him. Mm-hmm. All right. That's Jesus. Thank you. Okay. Go to, did I read Colossians 1 first? I did. We were supposed to read Colossians 3 first. That's okay. I'm going to Colossians 3. We're going to start in verse 1. If therefore you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. So for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And I think the thing that we really honestly have to look at here is, are we hidden in Christ? Or are we hiding in sin? Are we hiding in darkness? Are we afraid to be seen? Are we afraid that the light is going to reveal something in us? And the thing is like, we're living in a time of so many being exposed right now. I swear I wake up every day and no worries. It's just our dog resituating. Jeez. Thought everything was gonna fall.
Earth shake.
I know. where somebody else is being exposed, where the true intent of their heart is being exposed. And so, guys, I really think that we're at a point where we can either step in and begin to practice the art of confession on our own, or be exposed by God's hand. I think one is probably better than the other, to be honest with you. I would rather fall on the rock than have the rock fall on me. And those are really our options right now. You know, that yeah. we can fall on the rock and we can practice laying ourselves down on our own by confessing and not leaving anything in here. And I'm talking about any little thing. Hey, I felt this way about you just a moment ago. I know that's not God. Can we talk about it? It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something super simple. Just let's move it out of the way. Mm-hmm. Let's just get things out of the way. And even asking, like, if somebody is coming to you with information, you can be bold and be like, hold on. Can we just let's say what needs to be said here. Don't hide anything. Let's just get it out there. Let's air it. Mm-hmm. One time I was at a conference, and I was with a very young gal. I think she was 19, and brand new married. And this was her first, testifying as well. Love that. This was her first experience with this level of God. Can I say it that way?
Oh, is it the toe?
No.
Oh.
And we're talking, there were healings happening. People were getting gold teeth. We had our hands were covered in gold dust. The glory of God was manifesting in the room. And she got touched by the power of God for the first time ever. And what took place under his authority in her was crazy. I mean, we're talking about somebody who went from barely knowing Jesus to, I mean, she was knocked on her butt and shaking and speaking in tongues and jumping up and walking around praying for people she had never met in her life. And she's bent over. It's hilarious. Like, she's walking bent over and she's just laying her hands on people. And I mean, it was probably one of the more wild things I'd ever seen. But later on in the session, she's laying on the floor and we were both laying on the floor. I think everybody in the room was laying on the floor, to be honest with you, that kind of meeting. And suddenly she starts rolling, and it took several rolls to get to me. She's rolling across the room to me, and she's got tears just flowing, and she's absolutely beside herself. And she goes, "I know I've done wrong." And so this is where, you know, the holiness is hitting in like these really prominent places in her, but she is terrified that, and this is exactly how she worded it. She's like, "Is God going to air my dirty laundry?" And I, you know, at the time, I'm all grace. and I'm like, "Oh no, honey, God's not like that. He doesn't do those kinds of things." And in that situation, I believe that that was true for her, that, you know, she was so tender and she wanted all of the yuck and the grime and the darkness out of her, that her desire in saying that was really, she was aching to have everything translated into the light. And so that was the proper answer. But the reason I'm telling the story is because, yes, I believe God does that. I believe that God, he loves us that much that he will air our dirty laundry, that he's not going to leave us stranded in our own darkness, that it is his great love that he does expose people. And I know that it's such a mess right now where you have so many slanderous things happening and the bandwagoners who are jumping in on social media. Gosh, I was asking myself the other day, I'm like, what was Christianity like before social media happened, you know? And I know that it had it's always had its errors. Anytime you have humanity involved, there's going to be some errancy, but it's just like, this is such a heap, you know, it's like manure. It stinks. And not the kind that is going to produce something good. It's just gross.
You know, the funny thing is, I don't think God's first act is to air your dirty laundry immediately. I think it's gone into steps. I think at first he's just like, "Hey, bud, you're not doing right here. You need to go talk to this. You need to go fess this." And we've ignored and ignored and ignored to the point where he's like, "To save you, here we're at. This is where we're at now." You know, it doesn't have, I don't think it has to get to that point all the time. I mean, for some reason, David's dirty laundry got aired constantly. Maybe it's because he was king.
Maybe.
But, you know, it's not the same with everybody. I mean, like Angie was saying with that girl, it was a great thing. I mean, God's not like that. He's not going, "Oh, I got you now. Let's go tell everybody what you did." He's not like that. But his grace is sufficient enough to go, "Okay, now we're going to go, we have to make this public per se." And because you're worth that to him. Mm-hmm. It might sound like, "Well, he's just punishing me." Maybe, but he loves you that much.
I mean, he loves you. So, I mean, like, your story is hilarious to me. God's funny. It's funnier on this side, but in 2020. So during all things COVID, we were on a leaders retreat because here in Kansas, there just weren't very many rules.
Rebels.
And there was like,
you know, we don't have that many people anyway.
Well, and there was, you know, less than 10 of us sharing an Airbnb. But anyway, yeah, we also bought a building and
started a church.
That is crazy. Anyway, so while we were there on this leaders retreat, it was a really powerful time that we had together. And but one of our people prophesied over John that he heard God saying, you know, rest or I will make you rest. And I mean, you could feel the authority on that word. And
he wasn't my boss.
And
that's my problem.
That's the problem. And he didn't do it. Now, whether or not you knew what that meant at the time, I don't know. I had an inkling as to what that meant, but
I knew exactly what I was supposed to do.
Oh, he knew exactly what he was supposed to do. Anyway,
but I thought he was full of it.
So it was what, 2 years later? 2 years later, and you're still going. I don't have to actually tell your story for you, but
go for it.
Okay. And he's still trying to, you know, go full force and do things his way, and the way you tell it is God flipped his truck and he got into a really bad
people
wreck.
Say that God doesn't, you know, cause bad things to happen. He just, you know, uses them as examples or, you know, teaches you out of them. Nope. Sorry. Not true. Go ahead.
Flipped his truck several times. I mean, seeing the pictures, the entire cab is smashed and somehow.
I didn't just flip my truck. I cartwheeled it first. It went nose first and then sideways. It was awesome.
2 years later, he confesses that he has seen God, you know, what'd you say, like flick your truck?
Yeah.
And caused it to. So my point in telling the story is that like God goes to extremes.
He gave me 2 years to obey him. It's not like he was being impatient with me. But he told me to rest. He told me to stop going the way I was going. And if I didn't stop, he was going to make me. And he's a God of his word.
Rest.
What am I going to do? Get mad at him? You know?
And this took him out.
Yeah.
This made it so he could no longer work.
Couldn't work.
God is funny.
Here's the crazy thing. The road I got in my wreck on, I was the fifth person that got in a wreck on that road that week, and I was the only one that survived. And I've seen one of the cars that wrecked, and mine was way worse.
It's wild. Absolutely wild.
Yeah. And the funny thing is I got hurt, but I only got hurt enough that I actually had to rest. Not that it messed me up. That's pretty, yeah, going through it wasn't the funnest thing I've ever gone through, but it just tells you the level of God's love for you. Is he, you know, I need you on this path. Get there. Nope, not doing it. Yeah, you are. You know.
Yeah. I want to jump up to Jeff's comment there about not just confessing, but testifying as well. And because I think that this is really important and an aspect that I think we've really missed out on. Several times throughout scripture, we read that they remembered or that they handed down the testimony generation to generation. That was one thing that the Israelites did so well, is remembering what it is that God, I mean, it might have taken them some trials to get back to remembering, but they handed down these stories. It was a gift that they handed down these testimonies of how God stepped in and provided for them. And so I think that the way that we need to look at at confession and testifying is confession brings the light, testimony holds it. And if we aren't willing to testify, we're only doing half of the work. Mm-hmm. We have to be quick to testify, this is what God has done. And again, not in a way that's arrogant, see me kind of thing, but like, see him, look what God has done. And the thing is like, sometimes it's not even a fun story to tell that God is like, you know, sometimes God's asking you to testify and you're going, you want me to out myself?
Yeah.
And he is actually, we talked about this a little bit in Call of the Wild on Saturday. Rebecca asked if we've ever experienced putting on humility and having that be a protection for us. And I was like, oh my gosh, yes. Because anytime God has asked me to share part of our story, it's not fun. It feels like exposing yourself, like we royally screwed up here, or we had like this tremendous loss in our life. But the thing is like, when I have done it anyway, there has not been, and this was so good for me to realize, like there's never been a time where it's been used against me. Mm-hmm. So I think that when we put on humility, that there is a protection in that, where because God will protect his own testimony. Mm-hmm. We don't need to worry about, you know, being God's soldier. He doesn't need us to, you know, protect him. It's his testimony. It's his story. And it's just our job.
I love it when she looks at me like that. She's so cute.
It's our job to make much of him. Yes. I mean, we can lift his name on high by gathering together and singing worship songs that we've sung 100 million times. Or we can remember, we can remind each other of what we can do both. Mm-hmm. But one we have grown really familiar with, and the other we need practice in. So let's get more familiar with practicing confession and testimony.
Did you notice I almost interrupted you twice and I didn't?
I just keep
maturing. I'm maturing. Anyways, I just want to testify some more. The funny thing is, I own a company. I worked really hard for that company. Testify. Did I work hard? Mm-hmm. I worked stupid hours. I'd get up, go to work, and come home and go to bed. That was my hours a lot of times. And, you know, because I didn't want to lose what we had built for ourselves. When I say we, it was we, not the three of us, there was two of us. Okay. To this day, we are, and I'm basically unemployed. I called myself retired. We are way, I don't even know how to explain it. Way better. Is that our finances are amazing. Off. How's that?
We're far better off losing everything.
Yes.
Than we were made our own way.
God was asking me to lay everything down and trust him. And then he made me trust him and then showed me the fruit that I missed 2 years of the fruit out of my own stubbornness. But he's still gracious enough to show me the fruit after. Once he's like, I have this plan for you. You're not listening. You're not listening. Truck over. Listen. Okay, I'm listening now. All right. Give it to me. What happened? I didn't have a choice but to give it to him. I couldn't work anymore. I was hurt enough where I couldn't work anymore. And he said, okay, good. I got what I wanted here. Now here's your blessings. And it's been blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And I mean, there still has been hard times, but nothing like what we were going through. Yes, Robin sounds familiar. Yes, it's been amazing. Once you lay it down and just trust him, and then he provides things. Like right now, he's letting me do something that I was supposed to lay down. I didn't really lay it down too well. But he's allowed me.
Strip it all away.
But he let me go. It's something I really love to do. And he's allowing me to do it, not because I need money. It's because I get to bless others doing it. And that is so much easier. It's funner. I'm doing some hard stuff right now that shouldn't be doable. And it's not that hard. I mean, it's tiring, but it's not that hard because his hand's in it. And so I like that. If his hand's in it, go for it. If it's not, get out of it. I promise you'll appreciate life more.
Yes. Where do we go from here? Let's jump over to James really quick. We'll end with this set of scripture. James 1, starting in verse 13. Let no one say he is tempted. I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted of evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own lusts. Then the lust, having conceived, gives birth to sin, and the sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Listen, this is the pattern of keeping things hidden, keeping desires shrouded. This is the order of events. Scary. Well, scary. I think we have to be honest about these. This is really what's happening. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own lust. Then the lust, having conceived, gives birth to sin. And the sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow cast by turning. He brought us forth by the word of truth, purposing that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. There you have it. If you weren't convinced before that you need to start practicing confession, that's proof. Shrouded desires is the same thing as lusts. Anything that is sitting within us that we have not brought into the light is going to lead down this path. Lust is going to turn into sin and sin to death. And it's just about time we take this a little more seriously and live upright before Jesus Christ. We are his temple, his dwelling place. Let's regard ourselves as extravagant and beautiful by throwing down every fiery dart, by taking captive every thought, and by translating every desire into the light. And we do this by confession and testimony. I love that you added that, Jeff. Sometimes I forget the power of testimony. We need some organ playing and some drums. Testimony. Yeah. Why do I think an organ needs to accompany a testimony? Not, sure. Not like Catholic church organ, more like gospel church organ.
Yes.
All right.
We love you. Go. Oh, don't forget. Here, I'll post again. You do the commercial.
What commercial am I doing?
For Invictus.
Oh, you're going to post it again?
Yeah, it's at the end. I posted it at the beginning.
You guys, go buy some meals for our Kenyan family.
Okay? Do it.
Okay.
Okay, and don't forget about our conference coming up.
Hey, and if you, when you go and you buy some meals, go and leave a comment. Because it's just fun.
Yeah.
And it's not competition. It's just fun. Okay. All right. Another commercial.
Yes.
The conference.
Conference.
I think we're 80 some days away. If you have not registered.
I know. Where's our countdown lady?
She disappeared.
She disappeared.
Oh, thank you, Lisa.
There you go, Lisa.
If you have not registered, follow the link that Lisa just posted in the comments and get yourself registered. We do need you to reserve your seat because we're limited on space.
Yes. So the first link is for Invictus to feed. Do it. Second link is for the conference.
Yeah, okay. Do that too.
At the end. The conference, the food one's at the beginning too.
Yes. So.
All right.
All right.
You're loved.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Sorry. I'm really bad at this. Hold on. That one?
Yeah.
All right. Love you guys.